We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? It is Wednesday, March 20th. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Pod. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz, back with you. You're in the midst, Brandon, of the fantasy basketball playoffs. We'll talk all about that, all the news coming out of Tuesday night, give a little preview of Wednesday. No Giannis, by the way. We found that out way earlier than normal, Brandon. Big injury news for the Bucks. He will not play tonight.
You're telling me.
Boston. Yeah, well, we'll get into your prize picks, which we had to add an addendum to after this Giannis news. First and foremost, however, we are brought to you, fittingly, by Smart Bracket. NCAA tournament, for real, starts tomorrow. I know we got some more play-in games tonight, but the actual tournament itself begins on Thursday. March Madness fans, before we dive into the madness, we want to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. They've developed an AI tool called Smart Bracket that could really help when you're building your brackets this year. Think of smartbracket.io as that one friend who always has the inside scoop, thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology. It's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge or a full-on strategy overhaul, smartbracket.io is worth a peek. It's fun, it's easy to use, and it leverages some brilliant AI technology. Might just give you those bragging rights you're after. With March Madness around the corner, a little extra insight never hurt. When Selection Sunday starts, check out smartbracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness and making smarter choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence. All right, Brandon. You flashed me your bracket just before we started recording. Did you use any AI technology to fill that out?
I can't say that I did, but I would assume that it would actually work out better than what I had put together.
Yeah.
It's always sort of smoke and mirrors the way that you come up with this stuff every year. But I've a pretty consistent strategy with how I develop a bracket. I'm sure that we can get into that at some point on today's episode.
Yes, absolutely. We will. Luckily we don't have a ton of major news. It feels like the last couple of weeks, every week we've done this pod, it's been like, well, another major player is out for the year. Didn't have a ton of that last night. We could talk a little bit about what we saw. Your Orlando Magic were in action and just a complete decimation of the Charlotte Hornets, Brandon. I was all over Wendell Carter points plus rebounds and Franz Wagner points plus assists last night. Both those guys played well. They only played 24 minutes because Orlando, led this game 67-32 at the half.
Yeah. It was going to take quite the lack of effort in the third quarter that the Hornets did win, by the way. The Hornets outscored the Magic by 9 in the third quarter.
And
but, I mean, the Magic would have to have completely fallen asleep at the wheel. They couldn't miss last night. Cole Anthony, it took him like three quarters to miss a shot. Paolo's making crazy passes all night while he was out there. I was also on his points plus assists. That was one of the prize picks that I handed out via RotoWire yesterday. And, I got some flack for this. Yeah, this is the way that it works. I don't care. If I hit, I'll brag about it. If I don't, you control me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But there was someone that said, Paolo, they hit me up and said, Paolo choked. Like, that's not at all what happened. Not all stat lines are created equal. He didn't come close to getting to over 27 and a half, which is what I thought he would get going in. It wasn't because he couldn't get there. It was because the coach wouldn't let him get there. He didn't play in the fourth quarter because they didn't need him. I was actually hoping at one point that Charlotte would make this a game. Let's see. Let's get the starters back out there. Let's get some urgency. There was none of that. Saw a lot of Admiral Schofield and Caleb Houston last night. Boy. That is the human white flag that Coach Mosley will wave for his opponents.
Yeah, I mean, the Magic, they played everybody. I think literally everybody who was eligible to play last night got into this game. They played 15 guys, according to the box score that I'm looking at. So good for them. You know, Orlando continues to play well. They are a half game out now of the four seed in the Eastern Conference. They're only 2.5 behind Cleveland, which will, you know, miss Donovan Mitchell for a couple more games at least for the three seed, which is it's conceivable, Brandon. I still, you know, I don't know if this team finishing third, fourth, fifth, sixth, wherever, I don't know if that ultimately changes how I feel about their postseason ceiling. But, you know, getting a home playoff series for a team that has not had anything close to that in a very long time would be massive. You know, tomorrow night, they have a really fun game against the New Orleans Pelicans. They play the Pelicans twice over the next couple of weeks. New Orleans is as hot as anybody right now. They have taken advantage of a relatively soft schedule, but, I mean, they're beating up on teams, man. They're top five in net rating. The defense has been significantly better. There was a report over the weekend that Zion has apparently lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament. Yeah, I mean, he had a huge dunk last night. I think it was Najee Marshall who kind of threw him an alley-oop. But, I mean, it looked like old Zion, right? It was kind of the Zion that we thought we'd see more frequently in the NBA. Pels win easily last night. This was another semi-blowout situation. I was very concerned about my Zion over 30.5 points plus rebounds. For some reason, they put him back in late when they were, like, up 17. And, you know, he's able to tack on a few more there. But this was a game that New Orleans controlled from start to finish. Basically felt like it was over at halftime. And, you know, they're now 10-4 since the All-Star break. And, you know, are in pretty good shape here to avoid any concerns about falling into the play-in zone.
And ironically enough, one of the only teams in the league with a better record than them since the All-Star break is the Orlando Magic. So you kind of have this, feels like like a mini Super Bowl of up-and-coming, young, talented teams that's going on.
It's like a Lions-Texans matchup.
You know, it kind of is. Exactly. You go, hey, weren't these teams have been bad for a really long time, but I sense that something is changing. Curious to see how the Magic stack up with them. Love what I'm seeing from the Pelicans right now. And we kind of knew this, that in order for them to hit their upside, Zion had to become some version of what you expected coming out of Duke. And I would say that what the guy that he is right now is exactly that. This is what you thought you were going to get. There were those that were hyping him up like he was going to be the next LeBron. Anybody who knows what they're talking about wasn't framing it that way. He's got a big star power quality about him where maybe he can become marketable in that sort of way. He's not that sort of player. Much more in line with like a Charles Barkley. But hell, if you turn into Charles Barkley, he's one of the top 50 players all time. So you're still talking about one of the greatest that ever laced him up, not the second greatest that ever laced him up. So I think that there was some overhyping that went on with Zion, but for the folks that watched him at Duke and kind of understood what he could bring to an NBA game, that version of Zion is exactly what we're getting right now. It's making for some really entertaining basketball, and I can't wait to see them in the arena tomorrow night. My concern with the Magic is that they've been great since the All-Star break. They're 17-5 in their last 22 games. They have been beating up on bad competition. They had one of the toughest schedules in the league leading up to the All-Star break. Since then, it has been a cakewalk. Now, Nick, you know, all you can do is take care of the schedule in front of you, and they're obliterating some of teams.
That's right.
So how do they stack up? Since the All-Star break, they've played seven teams that are above 500. They're 3-4 in those games. So something to consider.
Yeah, that was something we talked about coming out of the break, right? Was that Orlando had by far the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA, and they have knocked out a lot of those games already. They now, as of today, have the 12th hardest schedule in the NBA going forward. They still play Milwaukee twice. They got the Clippers twice. They play the Pels twice, the Kings, the Sixers. Technically, you know, count as a tough opponent right now, but we'll see, you know, if Joel Embiid is there for that game. In all likelihood, he won't be. And then they still have a few cupcakes as well. You know, I was all over that Jamal Mosley 50-1 to win coach of the year coming out of the break. I don't know if we're going to get there. He's down to 30-1 at DraftKings. He's 20-1 at BetMGM and 21-1 at FanDuel. But Mark Daigneault's starting to pull away a little bit here. He's separating himself, you know, from Mazzulla, and Chris Finch has actually fallen behind Joe Mazzulla in the odds. Joe Mazzulla is not winning this award. It's not going to happen. I really don't see that being the case. I know Boston's running away with the Eastern Conference number one seed, but this that would not feel right. I don't think people are going to vote for him. But Daigneault's almost minus 400 now at DK.
I don't really know why you can't give Joe Mazzulla the credit that he deserves. No. The Boston Celtics are hovering around 80% win rate. If you look at the history of the NBA, the teams that have been in that range, they're some of the greatest teams in the history of the NBA. So I don't think that we should breeze past him as quickly. I am also obviously in the camp of Jamal Mosley needs to be in this discussion. But the problem with Mosley is that you can't say Jamal Mosley should be the coach of the year and then just turn around and give it to Mark Daigneault, because what he's doing is pretty much exactly what Jamal Mosley's doing, just at a better level. So if you're going to give it to one, you kind of have to give it to the guy that's winning more games. My only case for Mosley over Daigneault would be the injury situation. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder have been pretty healthy squad over the course of the year.
Yes.
He has not had to deal with a lot of lineup management. Jamal Mosley, that's not necessarily the case. Certainly not the case for JB Bickerstaff in Cleveland. So some of these other coaches that have done, what about Tom Thibodeau and all the injuries the Knicks have had to overcome? So if you're going to give coaches credit for that, then that's my only knock against Daigneault, is that he's had an easy road. But he's got young guys that he has as the number one seed in the Western Conference. So I can only poke so many holes. He probably should win the award.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm ultimately fine with it. I just I think Jamal Mosley more so embodies the spirit of what this award is. And we'll see. Maybe, you know, if they finish strong here and Orlando gets the 3 seed in the East, I don't think this is completely decided yet. But
no,
you are right on Missoula. You know, typically, you know, I'm just looking at the last 15 years or so here in terms of who's won Coach of the Year. You know, Monty Williams won it for the Suns a few years ago when they won 64 games. Bud won it for a 60-win Bucks team. Obviously, Steve Kerr when the Warriors won 73. Like that, when you're far and away the best team in your conference and in the NBA, and you know, you have the best record by several games, that often does lead to Coach of the Year. It's just, you know, every time you talk to somebody or you read somebody who covers the Celtics, it's like they're still criticizing Joe Mazzulla. Like it feels like they're winning in spite of Mazzulla, the way that people talk about him. So I just don't think the narrative is there in the way that it typically is for a team that's this good. But you're going to be in the mix by default when you have that many wins. Great point by you on OKC, by the way. I looked this up the other day for the RotoWire NBA show, which you can conveniently hear on NBA Radio 7 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. The Thunder have lost 11 total games in their starting lineup. 11. SGA has missed one game. Chet Holmgren has missed zero games. Jalen Williams is responsible for 7 of those 11. Lou Dort has missed 2, and Giddey has missed 1. I mean, that's as healthy as you could possibly be. This is like Sacramento Kings stuff.
Exactly. So, and that's where I'm a little bit hesitant to buy all the way in come playoff time, because they might be the Sacramento Kings of this year, where they just rip through the regular season. They look like they've taken this huge leap. Then all of a sudden they have to play in a phone booth and they're not nearly as impressive. I think consistency, availability, these sort of things, and wanting it. You know, they're a young team that doesn't know any better. I'm experiencing that with the Magic. They don't. The reason why they blow bad teams out is because they don't take anybody lightly. Good teams know better. I don't need to give max effort against the Hornets. I'll wait until two nights from now when I'm playing against the Suns. You know, and teams like the Thunder and the Magic don't think like that, because this is their first taste of winning, so they're addicted to it. So you're getting some of that. What does that look like come playoff time? But in terms of Coach of the Year, kind of hard to look away from what OKC has done, and they deserve some sort of recognition. Doesn't look like SGA is going to win the MVP, but I like him to at least put his best foot forward to try and win that award. So that's why one of the picks tonight, by the way, over 31.5 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against the atrocious Utah Jazz defense. Just hope that the blowout doesn't come too early in that one.
Well, that's the thing. We need Utah to keep this somewhat respectable. And you know, as of the stream right now, we know for sure Markkanen's out. We know Clarkson's out. I would guess John Collins probably doesn't play, just for safety purposes, after what happened to him earlier this week. He is questionable right now.
Did not
have a concussion, thankfully, but dealing with still some, I think some PTSD. It might be the first ever questionable PTSD designation in NBA history. But if they don't have him, man, I mean, yeah, you got Walker Kessler, but they don't love playing him big minutes anyway. I think that one could get a little bit out of hand. But nonetheless, I mean, SGA, you know, getting to somewhere between 30 and 34 points every single night has been a pretty safe bet. I was, I was looking at that game as, you know, do we trust OKC to cover? You know, I got to look at what the line's at right now, but late last night when I was looking into it, it was at 14. OKC's been pretty good in these spots. Like Sacramento, for example, I was looking this up the other day. They're double-digit favorites tonight at Toronto. I believe the Kings are 1-7 ATS as a double-digit favorite this season. Like you just stay away. They went into overtime with Memphis the other night as a double-digit favorite. Like that's one that I just stay away from. OKC, 9-7 ATS this season as a double-digit favorite. And that line is now up to 15 as we speak. Utah's been pretty frisky, but almost exclusively at home. They are 10-17-1 as a road dog this season. That's against the spread. And they're 22-13 ATS at home. OKC 19-10 ATS as a home favorite. So a lot of the trends would point to this being, you know, a potential blowout situation for the Thunder.
Yeah, it's OKC or nothing for me. There's no way I would lay my money on Utah, especially with all of the injuries and uncertainty with their lineup. But I can't play that. Once the line gets past like 12, I'm out. You have officially priced me out of the equation. You just see too much goofiness at the end of games. You know, And it can work in a variety of ways. Either the game is closer than you expect and you kind of know going into the fourth quarter there's no way you're covering that number. Yeah. Or the game gets so out of hand so early that you've got backups that are playing and all of a sudden it becomes a G League game and you get a backdoor cover. Yeah. I would take OKC if I had to bet this game, but as I often like to remind people, you don't have to bet every game on the board. I would stay away from OKC minus 15 and a half.
That's just your opinion.
It's my opinion.
Some would say that you do have to bet every game on the board. You know, you want to diversify as much as you can. All right, let's hit a couple questions from the chat. Keep these coming in, guys. We'll hit them throughout the show. Christian says, good morning, fellas. Good morning, Christian. I lost Giannis today for my playoff matchup in a points league. Brutal. Thoughts on Luke Kornet to replace him for my center spot? The only spot I have available to fill is center. Okay. Well, going from Giannis to Luke Kornet, you know, we'll see if he can match that production. So Boston, they've been kind of doing a rotation, it feels like, of kind of rest and, you know, load management over the last week or so. My guess, you know, with a 10-game lead in the East, as that continues down the stretch. They don't have anybody officially ruled out for tonight yet, but Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown are both questionable. Sam Hauser, tweaked his ankle the other night. He's also questionable. You know, it's not a back-to-back, so we expect Porzingis and Horford to be available. That worries me a little bit as far as Kornet goes, but, you know, you're kind of backed into a corner here. You need a center. You know, Kornet, even in games when Porzingis and Horford have been active, he's still been solid, right? I mean, I think in this situation, you kind of have to go in expecting the worst, which, you know, could be 2 points, one rebound, one assist like he had against Phoenix the other night. It could be 14 points and six rebounds, especially if this does turn into a blowout in favor of Boston with no Giannis. Maybe you get some production out of him in the second half. But you know, I think the other side of this, Brandon, would be looking at tonight's slate and assuming you have the option to maybe swap in somebody else who might be available and is center eligible. You know, would there be anybody else out there? You know, I was going to say, you know, Taylor Hendricks comes to mind as somebody who could step up for Utah. I don't think he's center eligible in most leagues. He's probably forward only. You know, if Kelly Olynyk is still floating out there, which he probably isn't, you know, that could be a good spot. Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, you could try to snatch up one of the Portland guys, but they play the Clippers. I wouldn't say that's a good matchup. Like you might just kind of have to eat this one. I mean, there's really no replacing Giannis, even if it's just one game.
Of course not. I mean, the good thing about Luke Kornet is that, you know, at least in terms of his point total, he is pretty consistent over the last couple of weeks where he is going to give you a good outing after a bad outing. He had 4 points in his last game. So then if I'm following the recent trends of Luke Kornet, he's good for double-digit points. He did have 10 rebounds in that last game. But, you know, in terms of just a full stat sheet, which is what you were getting from the Greek Freak, who is irreplaceable. He's had 14, then 6, 12, then 2, 14, then 4. So it's a little bit of a seesaw, and a seesaw may spring in your direction here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, again, I will caution that Boston's been without, you know, it feels like 1 to 3 of their key guys every night over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, there is a little bit of noise in that sample, but something to keep an eye on there. The other thing to monitor throughout the day is, again, assuming you can make this move at some point before tip-off, is Bam is now questionable for Miami tonight. You know, so if he were to sit out, you know, it could be a Thomas Bryant night because Kevin Love is already out. Jovic is also questionable. So I would you know, kind of see how the news develops throughout the day and maybe a, you know, better streaming option arises. But, you know, as you've kind of implied here, you're likely scraping the bottom of the barrel. Matt says, what's up, guys? Would you drop Herb Jones for any of the following players on waivers? Walker Kessler, Taylor Hendricks, TJ McConnell, Malik Beasley, and C. Martin. That could be Cody or Caleb. I'm going to assume it's Caleb. Head-to-head points league. Matt is in the quarterfinals of his playoffs. So would you drop Herb Jones for any of those guys?
I do like TJ McConnell. He's pretty consistent as it comes for what you're looking for here in terms of a replacement. I feel like Herb Jones, a lot of his value in terms of on the basketball court comes with what he does on defense, how much of that translates to what you need in fantasy. I think I like McConnell a little bit more, but those would be my favorite two of the list that you have here. So if you're sort of waffling on it, I would just hang on to Herb Jones.
Yeah, I mean, the points league is what makes it a little tougher because, you know, so much of Herb's value is derived defensively. And yeah, those, that still gets you points in a points league, but it's not as singularly valuable. You're kind of just looking for total fantasy points, of course. Hendricks to me is a little bit interesting. I think you're still going to have to live with the down games. You know, like, yeah, that disaster game against Atlanta where he was 1 of 7 from the field still gave you 10 boards. Like, the rebounding floor for him, I think, is going to continue to be pretty high. He's been blocking shots lately. Depends what happens with Markkanen. You know, I kind of thought 3 days ago that he was maybe shut down for the year. Then he comes back. Now he's out again. Like, chances are he probably misses, what, at least half of their games the rest of the way. And if that's the case, I think there is going to be some opportunity here for Taylor Hendricks. When it comes to Malik Beasley, in a points league, not that excited about him. You know, it's really just points and threes for him. And again, much like Herb Jones, you know, those threes are helping you a lot more when they're helping you win a single category instead of just contributing to total fantasy points. And then Matt has clarified that it is, in fact, Caleb Martin. I like Caleb Martin for tonight, especially if Jimmy Butler doesn't play. Going forward, you know, he's somebody who has a relatively low ceiling, but has played a lot better of late. You know, you look at the last 10 games for Caleb Martin, 13 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2 assists, and almost 2 combined steals and blocks per game. So he's, on average, probably giving you similar, if not slightly better production than Herb Jones. So a lot to consider there. Your final answer is just hold on to Herb.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's close enough to where I'm not making a move unless I feel like I have to. And I love the way this Pelicans team is playing right now. He's part of the reason why. So let's press forward with the guy on the team that's on a heater right now.
All right. All right, Mr. A, not Dr. A, Mr. A says, do I drop Obdia and Tobias Harris to get in on streamers like Banton, Micić, maybe Jaden Ivey? Interesting question here. Yeah, I mean, Washington, I mean, they're down bad. We know that. And now they're dealing with injuries that may or may not be real. Obdia missed his third straight game yesterday. They play again tomorrow against Sacramento. They play Saturday against Toronto. You know, if you're looking at the schedule, they only have one more back-to-back. I'm not really sure that even matters at this point. I think they're just kind of trying to get a look at the Patrick Baldwins and the Johnny Davises of the world. Davis was horrendous last night in his first start of the year, by the way. So, yeah, the Obdia ride may be over. I think he's kind of in like a marketing situation to me.
I, you know, getting a chance to see Micić live last night in person, he looked like the best player on the floor for the Charlotte Hornets, at least the most consistent. I love what I see from Brandon Miller, but he's still got a lot of room to grow. But it doesn't look like LaMelo is coming back anytime soon. I don't even know if he's coming back at all. So yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's coming back, man. I know we've talked about this for like 2 months now, so it just feels like we're beating a dead horse. But I mean, Charlotte has what, 13 games left? I mean, do we really expect him to pull a Desmond Bain here? I just don't.
So I saw him last night warming up on the court, and all he was doing was shooting free throws. It just doesn't look like somebody, you know, I've seen this where you can see in the pregame when teams try and ramp guys up to action. I did not get that vibe from watching LaMelo Ball out on the floor last night before last night's game tipped off. I like the way Micić plays. I think you should definitely add him, drop Obdia. Tobias Harris, I'm a little bit more hesitant on because yeah, I like what he's giving you. He can go off any night in terms of scoring, and he's probably the most consistent rebounder on the team right now. So I'm not looking to move off of him for those other options.
Yeah, I think Harris is dealing with a legit injury. And like Philly, you know, Philly is in a complete opposite situation. Like the Wizards have the worst record in the NBA. They're all but locked in to a you know, top four lottery odds pick here. Whereas Philly's a half game up on Indy to avoid the play-in, you know, and they're one game up on Miami. Like Philly has a ton to play for. Like if Tobias Harris was healthy, he would be playing. So I'm a lot more worried about Obdia and the Wizards, you know, taking it easy with him than I would be Tobias Harris and the Sixers. So yeah, I think if you're going to drop one of them to me, it would have to be Obdia. Paul says, week 22, Trey Mann or Jalen Suggs? I just dropped Suggs for Trey Mann because I have a bye week this week, but Suggs' stats yesterday are making me regret that move.
What did I tell you guys? I told you guys this on the podcast last week. You know, when I talk Magic basketball, I've got it on lock over here, okay? Watch this team every night. You don't drop Jalen Suggs before an 8-game homestand. That was a bad idea. This is his time to shine. They've got another week ahead of this. So, yes, I think Jalen Suggs is the answer. He's a completely different player inside the walls of that building. So much swag, so much enthusiasm. He gets the crowd going, and he feeds off of that. When he goes on the road, well, he's a different kind of guy. But at home, definitely someone that can fill up the stat sheet.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. We're talking next week. So the week that starts Monday, what is that, the 25th, if my math is correct here. Orlando plays three games. Charlotte plays four games. Does that change the calculus?
I don't think it does. I'm not convinced that Trey Mann is going to give you the sort of consistency. Like what he gave you last night, it's just not good enough. Like he's got to score in order to be valuable, because he's not going to light up the defensive stats like you're going to get from Jalen.
He kind of is, though. He's at 1.7 steals per game since he became a starter. You know, I mean, he's basically had multiple steals in like three quarters of these games. He's not giving you anything in terms of blocks, of course.
Right.
But he's giving you assists. He rebounds really well for his size. You're right that the scoring upside isn't really there, but I think you could make the same case for Suggs. Like, I'll say this. I'll disagree. I think if it were me and I had the option to start one or the other, I'm just going to go with the four-game guy.
So, and so you're right. I mean, you look back at some of his last few games. He had four steals just the other night. He's had a pair in most of the games that he's played, so probably unfair to criticize him on that. I still think that you're getting with Suggs on a team that is now utilizing him as a starting point guard is just, it provides a little bit more stability and I think more upside. And his three-point shooting has been phenomenal. That is not the case for Trey Mann, who's shooting 28% over his last 10 games. Jalen Suggs is up to 40% this year from three-point range. So I like Suggs a little bit more right now. The four-game spread that you talk about, you know, it makes me hesitate a little bit. I like Trey Mann, but they've got other guys that they want to give looks to on that team too. I'm just not over the moon with what I saw from this guy last night. So perhaps I'm a little bit sour because of recency bias.
All right. Good question from Andrew. He says, I'm in a bit of a pickle. Pickle. Okay. You come to the right place. I'm in a total points league and I'm up on my opponent by 175. I want to make sure I'm in a position to win. Is Miles Bridges droppable for a streamer spot this week? So I assume we're looking at the rest of this week if you're in a daily moves league. So let me pull up the old schedule here for the remainder of the week. Charlotte's a two-game team this week. So they've already played one of their two games. That was last night against Orlando. Off Wednesday, off Thursday, off Friday. They play at Atlanta on Saturday. So, yeah, I mean, you're in a good spot here. You're up big, but, you know, still relatively early in the week. I think, you know, if you're in the finals, if this is it, then yes, absolutely. I would worry about dropping him and then regretting not having him for a four-game week next week. But if you're just worried about, you know, kind of padding your lead for this week, then absolutely, because I think you have a ton of options as far as guys who play three more games the rest of this week, right? I mean, there's like 10 to 15 teams that play, you know, some combination of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. So, you know, you're not just looking at like, oh, two or three teams that I have to choose from. Like, you should be able to find, you know, somebody decent. You're not going to find anybody who's Miles Bridges caliber, of course, but, you know, three games of a significantly lesser player is still going to be better than one of Miles Bridges. So my initial answer would be, depends if you want him or need him for next week.
I'm not throwing him back out on the waiver wire. So, I mean, it's definitely something you could do if you're trying to win this matchup. But I also saw this same individual, Andrew, followed up and said it's just round one. You've got more rounds to win here. So I'm not getting rid of what would be one of my best fantasy assets just so I can further pad a matchup that it looks like you're good anyway. I don't think it's worth the risk.
Okay. Yeah. And like you said, it is just round one. So it's tough. I mean, a two-game week in the fantasy playoffs, it's just brutal. But, you know, if you were down 175, then maybe I would say, yeah,
you gotta
scratch it just to win this matchup, survive in advance, deal with it later. But yeah, if you're up by 175, like, you should hopefully be able to ride it out because you're going to want him for those four games next week. Matt says, would you drop Naz Reid for Trayce Jackson-Davis in a points league? He's in his finals in this league, and he used one of his four ads on Naz Reid on Monday. So would you drop him for Trayce Jackson-Davis? Looking at the schedule for Minnesota, they are in a four-game week, but they've already played two of their four games. They play Friday against Cleveland, not a great matchup, and then Sunday against Golden State. Meanwhile, the Warriors play three more games. So they play Memphis tonight, Indy on Friday, Minnesota on Sunday.
And I think it comes down to exactly that. One of the reasons why I would think, and we don't know this, but the Timberwolves have played a lot of games in not a lot of days. I would not be surprised if they gave a break to a couple of their bigs and allowed Naz Reid a little bit more room to run. So he could end up, and we don't know that that's going to happen, so that sort of thought process could backfire. But Trayce Jackson-Davis feels like the right move here. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Naz Reid had a really strong finish to the week.
Well, part of it depends on Gobert. You know, obviously Naz Reid has kind of gone off these last few games with Towns out. And, you know, when Gobert's out, it just becomes super obvious. And if Gobert's back, you know, you're looking at a lower ceiling for him. So, yeah, it's the two games versus three games debate. And if you're in the finals this week, you know, you don't really have to worry about anything after that. I think I'd take the three games out of Trayce Jackson-Davis. Last five games for him, by the way, 12.5 points, 7.5 boards, 2.5 assists, and 1.8 blocks. So, you know, Naz Reid definitely has more night-to-night upside, but the difference between these guys lately hasn't been massive. So I would take the extra game with Trayce Jackson-Davis. Let's see here. What else do we have? Well, Matt also said he's worried that Naz Reid might not play at all. That is true. You know, he's dealing with a head injury, was questionable, did not play last night. So that's that, you know, if you're still waffling on it, that probably breaks the tie, not knowing his status right now. All right. The Nomad says, who should I pick up of this list? Chris Paul, Keon Ellis, or Peyton Pritchard?
Boy, that's a who's who right there. The fantasy stardom.
Great future Hall of Famers.
No doubt. I think one of them might make it. Peyton Pritchard. I think I would go the Peyton Pritchard route. And I like that they it looks like they have an easier road tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. So that should be the kind of game where maybe he gets more run. Mm-hmm. I'm not blown away by the other two.
Yeah, I mean, Keon Ellis, I think, is on this list because of what he's done defensively lately. I mean, he had five blocks against Memphis the other night, but that is a team that if you listen to the RotoWire NBA show on NBA radio, you know the Grizzlies get blocked all the time. We're always targeting those props. He's been getting a lot of steals as well, but that's kind of it. Like, if he's not giving you elite defensive production, it's going to be pretty shaky. And if we're talking rest of the week, yeah, Sacramento does play three more games. So does Golden State, you know, and so does Boston, assuming Pritchard plays in all those. So schedule doesn't necessarily come into play here. If you could guarantee me that, like, you know, Drew Holiday or Derek White or Jaylen Brown, you know, miss at least one or two games the rest of the week, which they very well could, I think Pritchard would make some sense here. But my default is still Chris Paul. I think he's going to give you the highest floor if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, this Golden State team is, you know, they're starting to find their stride a little bit, and having Chris Paul back and active, part of the rotation has certainly helped in that regard. Just looking at what he's been able to produce as of late, last game, 14 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, you know, that's kind of what you're getting from Chris Paul right now, but that's kind of what you're going to get from all of these guys. So, it's a crappy Baskin Robbins. I'm going to go with Peyton Pritchard.
Okay. There we
Pick
have
your
it.
Flavor.
All right. Christopher says, do you have any insight on Giannis? Is this serious? Are they resting him on back to back? I'm pulling my hair out. There's blood. There's blood from Christopher.
I don't have any hair because of Giannis.
I'll tell you this. So it is a back to back, and it's a road home back to back. So they play at Boston tonight. They're home for Brooklyn tomorrow. I will be in the house for that one, by the way, Brandon.
Wow.
Taking advantage of some suspiciously cheap tickets. Like, Bucks tickets, yeah, they're not hard to come by, but they're expensive. Like, it's night and day. You used to be able to go to a Bucks game in college. We would, you know, drive from Madison, pay $5 to go see the Bucks, you know, take on the Wizards or whoever it was. It's pricey now to get into Fiserv Forum, but I think
hold on. You're telling me Nick Whalen of rotowire.com cannot get into this building for free?
I can and I have, but I'm going with some friends. You know, I can't get everybody media access. But you know, I want to go. It's good to go as a civilian sometimes to these games and not be mobbed by everybody. You know, to not have to like go take the underground tunnel to get in. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, tickets are super cheap on Thursday. Partially, I think because it's the Nets and it's like, you know, nobody cares. And number two, because of the NCAA tournament, I think everybody wants to be home watching that. So I'm hoping Giannis plays on Thursday. I don't think it's overly serious. I mean, I'm a little surprised that he didn't even make the trip to Boston. I saw a tweet late last night on Bucks Twitter. He was spotted at a Milwaukee movie theater with one of his kids last night. So he's up and he's moving around. You know, he looked fine. He was in his usual Nike, you know, tech fit sweatsuit that he seems to be wearing at all times. My guess is they're just being extra cautious here with the hamstring. Obviously, he had the Achilles thing, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Not totally out of the question that he could play Thursday, but that's also a game that Milwaukee could probably win without him. And they, you know, they have a homestand coming up here, three games. So my guess is he's, you know, probably back Sunday against OKC. Brutal for fantasy, but wouldn't really worry about it too much long term. All right, we'll hit a couple more here. And then we'll talk about some Yahoo MVPs on the year and then get your final NCAA tournament thoughts before we bounce out of here.
Can I ask you a quick question about the Milwaukee Bucks before we move on? Do you think that it's possible that they don't care if they have the two or the three seed? That they look at the Eastern Conference and go, what the hell is the difference with all of these teams?
Well, I think the only difference would be when you play Boston, right? I think you want the two in theory, so that's the Eastern Conference Finals matchup, right? But if it's I don't think they're pushing for it at the expense of Giannis's health.
Yeah, yeah. But it just feels like
they prefer the two seed. I don't think they're going to go out of their way to not get the two seed.
There's only so many games left. Like, if you want it, go get it, you know? Yeah. And now's the time to take advantage. So it does feel like they're letting their foot off the gas a little bit. But anyway, move on.
Perhaps. All right, Nomad says, should we drop Duncan Robinson? He's been ruled out tonight with a back injury. I mean, hard to say how much time he misses. I don't really want to speculate too much there. They play Friday and Sunday, so he's got two more opportunities to play. They do only have a three-game week next week. I mean, he's been playing really well. He's given you, you know, high volume threes as you'd expect. He'd have other injuries, so that's helped. If you're just looking at like the rest of this week and you're in a daily moves league, knowing that he's out tonight already and knowing that there are all these other three game options, yeah, I'm probably okay with that. You know, he's not a Miles Bridges caliber guy where you're like going to regret not having him next week, especially on a three game week.
Exactly. You know, the type of stat line that Miles Bridges is giving you cannot be replaced on the waiver wire. Duncan Robinson is the exact stat line that you can replace on the waiver wire. So the second you feel like you need to swap a position out like that type of player, I've got no issue doing it. I don't think you're going to miss out because of it.
All right. Last one quickly. Azer, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, hopefully. He says, any insights on Drew and Jaylen? Unfortunately, no. They're both questionable. Like we said earlier, Boston has been doing this kind of rolling rotation where it feels like one or two of their top seven guys are out every single night. I mean, they're up 10 games in the East. I think they're just trying to build in some load management here. But you know, tonight is a TV game, so I do wonder if they're, you know, is there any, like, are they allowed to sit multiple guys like that? I'm not really sure. I think they could get away with sitting Drew and Jaylen. I don't think they could sit Jaylen and Tatum tonight, but. No, I have no idea what to expect here. I would expect one of them to not play at least, just because that's how Boston's handled it over the last couple of weeks. But we don't have any insider info there.
These good teams, they get so squirrely. And I have you seen anybody? Has anybody been penalized yet for that new rule? You can't sit two guys on TV.
Well, and it's a good thing that has not come up all year. I remember when that first came out, you're like, oh my god, the Clippers are going to be screwed. The Lakers, it's like. It just hasn't been a problem like that. There's been some other issues with this NBA season. You know, the scoring obviously got out of hand for a while and now that's under control, but you know, health wise, load management wise, it just really hasn't been an issue.
I think it has, but I think we're so used to it at this point, and everybody knew that this was never actually going to be a rule that went into effect. And the way that they laid it out, it's not just two players that are good on your roster. It's two all-stars or all NBA guys. And even the best teams don't have that, you know, that's a lot of high caliber talent to have on your roster. So I think that some teams have been able to skirt by because they go, well, he wasn't an all-star, so it doesn't count.
Well, this is a good seg to talk about the MVPs of the season. I just dropped the link in the chat here. Yahoo has a great page. They do this for football and baseball as well. I love looking at this. It's the players who are most frequently rostered on the 500 best public league teams on Yahoo. And number two on that list, Brandon, would not have expected this, Kawhi Leonard. He is on 23.4% of the 500 best fantasy basketball teams on Yahoo this season, partially because he has just not missed that much time. Unsurprisingly, SGA, who we said earlier, I believe has missed one game on the year. He's at almost 30%, which is crazy high. Derek White, 22%. Chet Holmgren, 19%. Jokic, Jalen Johnson, Brooke Lopez, Miles Bridges, a little bit surprising, and Tobias Harris. Those are your top 10 fantasy MVPs. Again, those are the players most frequently rostered on the best fantasy basketball teams. Any of those jump out to you for one reason or another?
Derek White jumps out to me because he's been living on the top of that list all season long. So credit to you out there if you got Derek White, because this is not a new this is not a new revelation for us. Kawhi Leonard certainly does stand out because I think it's pretty the ones that are obvious to me are the ones that stand out. Why is there inherent value across fantasy rosters across the country and the world? Well, that's because Kawhi Leonard is one of the top players in the NBA, yet you all got him on a discount because nobody expected him to be available as much as he's been available. So now that he has been, he's at the top of that list. SGA, I mean, you look for a full stat sheet in fantasy basketball, there's nobody that delivers that quite like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander does. I'm surprised by Miles Bridges and Tobias Harris. That's where, like, some of them are obvious. You go, okay, that makes perfect sense, and I can find the correlation. I don't know what the correlation of Harris and Bridges is.
What you have to remember with Bridges is there was a suspension, right? And there's all this, like, coming into the year, like, is he even going to play? Is he even going to be on the roster? So, you know, a lot of this is where do you rank now versus your ADP? And, you know, keep in mind, like, you can have Derek White on your team, and if you drafted terribly around him, it doesn't matter. You're not going to clock in as one of the top 500 teams. But, you know, obviously it's a huge advantage. You know, you get Derek White. I'm looking at his ADP right now. In Yahoo leagues, he was going on average with the 84th pick. He is currently the 17th best fantasy player in 9 category leagues this year. Total value. So, you know, not missing time is maybe the biggest factor of all here. And Miles Bridges, you know, comes in quite a bit lower. Like you said, it doesn't feel like he's having some sort of all-time season, but he's the 60th ranked player in terms of total value. And, you know, he was going in like the 120s in a lot of leagues. So he's still made a huge jump in terms of value versus ADP. Same thing with Jalen Johnson. No surprise to see him on this list. Yep. And, you know, not only is Chet Holmgren the fourth, you know, most valuable by this metric fantasy player, but Jalen Williams is also in the top 15. So, you know, another guy who's beat his ADP by a pretty good margin, partially because he's missed almost no time. So not a surprise to me to see three OKC guys in the top 15.
You know, and there's a strategy to take from that, because they were a team that I think people expected to improve, but they've taken a bigger leap than the consensus thought. So if you buy into a team in that preseason process and say they're going to go from bad to really good, or from good to best in their conference, load up on those players. I don't think it's a coincidence that you have multiple players from that same team that have that are at the top of an MVP list like this. One thing that does surprise me, your guy, who you are confident will be your number one overall pick next year. Where's Victor Wembanyama? Oh, he's in the 40s of overall fantasy MVP. I want to try and word this properly.
Yeah, it's tough to word.
It's not overall fantasy value. It is the percentage of rosters that are winning, keys to success.
Sure.
Right? I am not nailing this right now, but you get what I'm trying to say. Victor Wembanyama on 10% of winning rosters in fantasy basketball. It's a lot lower than I would have thought. Is that just because we were sort of overdrafting him? But yet it's not an overdraft because he's delivered and then some. So I'm a little bit confused as to how he falls so far down the list.
I thought the same thing, and I was going to bring that up as well. I mean, I guess the argument is that he was going in the second round, if not higher, in most drafts. So, like, yeah, he ranks sixth right now in terms of total value in 9-cat. but in Yahoo leagues, he was going pick 23 on average. So he's beating his ADP. He's having an insane year, but he's not beating it by 60 spots in the same way that Miles Bridges is, right? He's beating it by like 15 spots, which is still nice, but there's less wiggle room, I think, when you're taking somebody inside the first two rounds. But, just the advantage that he gives you defensively, and, a lot of Yahoo leagues are points leagues, so maybe that mitigates it a little bit as well. But, I was surprised to see him so far down the list. Jalen Duren, he's at almost 12%. Dosunmu's at almost 12%. That makes sense. James Harden, ranks fairly high. You kind of forget how late he was going, especially if you were doing a draft right before the season started. I mean, this feels like years ago now, where we're like, is he even going to play this year? Is he going to sit out? You got a pretty good value on James Harden if you took him in the 50s, as I did in a couple leagues. Daniel Gafford's on the list. Dante DiVincenzo's on the list. That all makes sense. Tyus Jones as well. I mean, you forget how bad Tyus Jones was the first month of the season. We were all panicking. He turned out to be just fine. Go check out that page. We linked it in the chat. Really interesting stuff. I would like to see like a Yahoo LVPs. It's like, who are the guys freaking rostered on the 500 worst teams?
I could come up with a list. I know Jordan Poole would be on it.
Just upload my rosters.
Jordan Poole, Scoot Henderson. Who else do we got? Shadon Sharp. I could come up with an LVP list.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at ADP stuff now, based on Yahoo. It's like, not that many first and second round picks ended up being like total busts. LaMelo Ball's got to be up there, right?
LaMelo, for sure.
He had an ADP of 12. Even Embiid, it's like, obviously you've been backtracking on Embiid for the last month plus, but he was so, so good early on that I don't think you look back and regret that. McCall Bridges was going really high in underdog best balls. He was going oftentimes early second round. Yeah. That's kind of been a disaster.
Walker Kessler. People were all excited about him. I think Paolo Banchero, probably a little bit overdrafted. He's been a good, it's the real life to fantasy translation that doesn't always, it's not always a seamless fit. I don't think he's been great for the fantasy aspect of things. And those are some of the names that really stand out. Are there any Rockets guys? Cause we're kind of in Jalen Green maybe.
Yeah. I think
he's not killing you.
Yeah. I mean, he was going like in the 80s in Yahoo leagues. Right now he ranks 115. So it hasn't been a positive ROI, but it hasn't been like a complete disaster. And he's starting to make a little bit of hay here. All right. Before we get out here, I want to do this quickly.
Yep.
NCAA tournament talk. I know you're a jack of all trades. You're involved in the NCAA tournament as much as you are any other sport. I'm very nervous for Wisconsin having to play a 31-win James Madison team on Friday. I am glad that we got the latest possible time slot, 8:40 p.m. Central tip off. That's exactly what we want. The boys are going to be getting together. We're going to be at the bar. It's going to be fun. What team do you attach yourself to for this tournament? Are there any regions you're particularly keeping an eye on? Any upsets that you like? I know we'll talk more about this on XM later today, but just want to get your general thoughts and just anything you want to say about the NCAA tournament before we head out.
Yeah, I think you can't be too narrow-minded in your approach to filling out a bracket. You want teams that are hot going in. You also don't want teams that have peaked too soon. So trying to sort of find that balance. And so for me, I've done that with my national championship matchup, if I can kind of fast forward to the end, is Auburn. I love the way that they played in the SEC tournament. I was on Florida plus the points in that SEC championship game, and I learned a little something about what Bruce Pearl's team is made of. That is a team that is built to compete in the NCAA tournament. And if you look at their KenPom rankings, if you look at their defensive stats over the course of the season, they kind of track like UConn did last year, a four seed that all of a sudden became a force and powered their way through. The issue is for them, and it would also be the issue for UConn, is that the East is so tough
to make
it out of. But that, and it's hard to win back-to-back championships, which is why I booted UConn out. We haven't seen that since the Gators did it in 2007. The other side of the equation for me is Houston, who is the opposite end of the spectrum. They deliver on all of the metrics that you want, defensive rating, KenPom, yada, yada. They've been one of the best teams in the country all year. They got smacked in their conference championship game. I kind of like that. I like that they got their loss out of the way. So it's two different sort of philosophies and thinking about how these teams make it through. but I think you have to get a little bit wacky in order to fill out your bracket. In terms of upsets, I do have JMU beating Wisconsin. It's my favorite 12 over 5. You have to pick one. It's an annual tradition unlike any other. I think Charleston makes it past Alabama. But my biggest Cinderella this year is McNeese State, coached by Will Wade out of the Southland. If you have not taken the time to do this, go and watch this team's highlights. They could be like Dunk City this year. They go up against Gonzaga, who is a little overseeded in that first round. Then they would probably get a beat up Kansas without McCuller. I like them to get past, and then they would get Purdue, and Purdue always fails. So it was like, as I was making the bracket, I'm like, I just keep pushing this little Cinderella through, but that's how it happens. That's my tournament breakdown.
It's funny that you say McNeese State, because that's how they've always been to us, right? But it's now just McNeese, apparently. They're just going by McNeese. They've dropped
that's
the state.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you know, growing up, they were always McNeese State. You know, they were like the random team you would try to take to a national title on College Hoops 2K5. Right. I think they might have even been in some of the NCAA football video games when they included the then 1AA teams. The thing that I like to keep an eye on, of course, in the NCAA tournament is NBA draft implications. It's just not a great tournament for that. It's really not. You know, we'll have a few guys who will go in the lottery. It's like the Kentucky guys, Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham specifically. They could both be top 5 to 7 picks. Like Cody Williams for Colorado, they need to play their way into the tournament. They play Boise State tonight. Jacoby Walter, keep an eye on him from Baylor. Obviously, Stephon Castle from UConn. Klingon, Connect, guys like that, you know, could be late lottery, mid-first round. But it's a very strange draft right now. Like most mocks that you look at, if you follow this stuff, a lot of international talent coming in this year, a lot of G League type of guys. I mean, we could have, you know, 5 of the first 7 picks could be either international or G League guys. And honestly, it could be more depending on how this draft develops over the next few months here. So there's not our usual, like, you know, we're watching Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, where are these guys all going to go? Like there are a handful of names to monitor, but for NBA purposes, for fantasy basketball purposes, this is not a stellar tournament in terms of NBA talent.
No, and I think for any talent evaluator, they would tell you that they'd barely pay attention to the tournament. I don't think they want to get punch drunk on anybody or sell stock on somebody that they felt really good about because they had a bad tournament. Just look at Andrew Wiggins. I think I still remember his 4-point outing for Kansas years ago. But where I do think there can be some movement is in the late teens, in the 20s, so definitely in the second round. I'm curious to see if, as good as Zach Edey has been, we have not seen him make a real run now that he's been the guy for Purdue. He's somebody that could go second round, late first. If they're able to push through this tournament the way that they should be able to, given their seeding and all of the hype around them, is he somebody that with a dominant performance through multiple games on a big stage actually pushes himself into that conversation of a late first round pick? That would be one of the big storylines that I would follow. But yeah, as far as the top of the draft, there's just not a lot to really wrap your arms around. So fill out a bracket, make your bets, and we'll enjoy it for those reasons.
All right, looking forward to it, as always, man. One of the best sports weekends, bar none. And I don't care how much you were locked in on college basketball. This is the best. This is the best weekend of the year to have the multi-TV set up. So don't let anybody tell you, whether it's your wife, your friends, any women in your life, don't let them tell you that you only need one TV. And this is a 2-TV, if not 3-TV minimum type of weekend. So whatever you got to do, drag one out of the back room, you know, get a computer monitor set up. You know, you got the laptop on a stool, whatever you need to do, multiple screens this weekend. Brandon, good stuff as always, man. Appreciate you doing this. Go check out Brandon's Prize Picks for today at RotoWire NBA. Been on, you know, nice little heater lately. Prize Picks starting to come around here. RotoWire.com/picks. That's where we get a ton of our information. Go check that out as well. That's been a really popular page. Tons of information there. Whatever pick 'em site you're playing on, you got info for traditional player props as well. If you're on DK or FanDuel or any of those sites. So RotoWire.com/picks. Like, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We appreciate all the great questions, everybody who's followed along. Continued success, Brandon, to you and all the listeners in the fantasy playoffs. We'll check in next week.
Bye, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.